That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, folks. So, Captain, sounds like people are excited. Midnight at Night.
Yeah, man. Justice League number one is a new beginning.
I'd say I'd normally be in bed right now, but that's not always true.
It's not true, but I'm tired of shit. So, let's get it going.
Work. So. All right. So, DC is about to at least revolutionize their own line with this new relaunch. They've done relaunches before. Yep. Some people are skeptical. Some people are really excited about it.
Some people are butthurt.
Some people are fanboys. That's all good. But yep. That's part of it. So we're fanboys too. More than more than just reviewing and talking about this stuff. We love these books.
Hell yeah.
So we're gonna take a second and not weigh in and actually ask everybody else that what sucks. They think
and,
first.
And that's cool. I was just about to say how much I loved it, but I'm not gonna talk about the book.
Everybody, we're gonna actually do a non-word podcast thing and take a pause from what we think and ask everybody else what they think because we're here for a midnight sale for a comic book. Let's think about that. Justice League number one at a midnight sale.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's a huge deal. DC, restarting, not so much a reboot, but, relaunching their titles, tweaking their characters a bit. From reading it, just the attitudes of some of the characters are really good. And while I like all the characters, there's some that, even the ones I do like, there's attitudes that I don't like. It's really cool.
It's definitely a little change.
Yeah, it's really cool the way it's going off. We'll talk about that, but let's...
Yeah, we'll definitely review the book, but just for everyone that doesn't know this, listen to the cast, DC is definitely rebooting their entire line. They're about to have 52 number one issues, the first of which is Justice League number one, starting off the whole deal. The month of September is going to see 13 new number ones per week to get the entire 52 off and running, and I'm sure in a couple months, everyone will have... Or in a couple hours, everybody's going to have more than enough to say about books that haven't even hit yet, or as they come out, they'll be talking about them. But right now, we're going to be talking about the end of Flashpoint, leading into this new 52, and Justice League number one. So we're going to start bringing some fans up here that are out here at midnight buying this first issue, and ask them what they think.
Well, the first up is a returning favorite.
Oh, yes?
So let's get him on. Surfer back in the house.
Surfer forever. Hey. Don't. This isn't your show, so take 2 minutes or something, and let us get in there a little bit. But tell us what you think. You've had a chance to read the book, and even if you what do you think of?
Don't really really spoil it for people who haven't.
Yeah, because you got spoilers. You know what I'm saying? Watch that. Just talk about what you think about. Talk in general. I'll shut you down if I have to.
Sorry, I'm one of these people. I don't like change. I like things to stay the same.
You don't want us to be eating rock soup, right?
Oh my God.
Flintstone cards.
I want the underwear on top of the pants.
We can't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't do that to any other man.
Change
the surfers
my bread. I don't change my peanut butter.
You don't change your underwear? What do you think of the comic, fool?
Well, I'm out of all the books, I'm more interested in Justice League because of the creators on it. Right. I figure if they can't knock it out the park, nobody can.
Geoff Johns and Jim Lee should be able to do the job.
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Well, why, nigga? Why?
Top writer and the top artist, they should be able to get it done.
Top writer, top artist. Your opinion?
At that company, yes.
Okay. All right. So you feel like their successes are a reason for you to have some kind of anticipation, some kind of pride in what this could be?
Right. Well, this is the book. This is going to be their flagship book. Yeah. So it has to be better than anything else. If it falls short, if nobody cares about Justice League in 4 or 5 months, it's a failure.
Okay, so this is a litmus test too.
Well, yes.
All right. What do you before you sign off? Since I know we're gonna have these conversations, what do you think of books that haven't come out yet? What do you think might wind up being some kind of like a sleeper hits out of the list that you've seen? If JLA is the litmus test, what else is out there that might wind up mattering?
I think Static Shock could be a hit because people grew up on the cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, DC definitely needs their Spider-Man, and I think Static Shock is that one. So I'm mad hopeful that it does well.
Okay, all right.
I think if you stamp Teen Titan on any book, that's going to do well.
Yeah.
Whether they do good stories or not is another story.
Agreed. Nice. Word. Okay, word.
Thank you.
Can I get another loyal fan to step up? Charlotte, come on over.
One of our subscribers, Andrew Silver.
Yes. Mr. Silver, introduce yourself real quick.
My name is Andrew Silver, and I'm a loyal subscriber here to Atomic City Comics. And I've been a DC and a Marvel reader. I've known these guys for quite a while. Always enjoy coming here with the shops. And tonight for a Flashpoint, as you can see, had to bring out the Flash because Flashpoint number 5 and Justice League. I did see some of the Marvel material, but I have to put my Marvel loyalties to the side because tonight is about the brand new era of the DC Universe.
Exactly. So you were anticipating this one, I take it?
Oh, absolutely. I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been following everything online. I've been reading comic book resources, Newsaramas. The USA Today's been covering it a lot. And I've been slowly thinking. And there are those that, like this guy, don't like change. However, I think down... No, it's like other people. I can kind of understand it. And I think down the long run, people are going to see these new stories and like certain elements. For instance, being a loyal Batman reader for a long time, I've never been the biggest Superman fan, but fresh new start, Grant Morrison on the character. He's done a lot with DC characters over the years.
Well, let me ask you a question, too. Yes. You sound like, the anticipation is one thing, and you've been a loyal DC fan, but what was your expectation? I mean, you still have to wait, you know, for months for all these books to get released and for you to read a bunch of them.
Absolutely.
What was your take on how necessary this was and on, you know, where it could get DC? If like you said, you weren't a Superman reader, you might become one now.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely will. I think it was very gutsy of them to relaunch Action and Detective because that's had a lot of heat. But if they're restarting everything, they might as well restart those two as well.
Right on. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll want to talk to you more about it tomorrow and in the coming days after you've read, you know, both new issues.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I'm very curious to see.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks, right. Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I'm Dave.
Are you Dave?
I am.
Dave. I think I know you, Dave. Glad you came down tonight, man.
Thank you. So am I. I'm a little tired, but, you know.
Right on.
I'm here.
Excited enough to come out at midnight.
Yeah. I'm pumped for the new launch. Actually, I'm pumped for Action with Grant Morrison as well.
Yeah.
And that Paul Cornell book.
No, that's awesome, though.
Planetary.
No, that's great, though, because that's part of the point. You know, different levels of anticipation about different books for different reasons. Some people are looking at the creative teams, mm-hmm. you know. Surfer said that Geoff Johns and Jim Lee should be able to do it on Justice League, and, you know, you're saying that, you know, a Paul Cornell book doesn't matter the title. It's the fact that maybe some new blood, you know, can bring in some new readership. So you're anticipating some of these books based on what they could be.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Looking forward to that. I'm all right with some of the costume designs. I'm not too thrilled with most of them.
Okay. All right. That was definitely a conversation with other folks, was the costume changes, redesigns. Do you think it's going to wind up being part of, you know, a bigger, it seems like it is, but do you feel like it's really part of a bigger overhauling of aesthetically of the whole DC universe?
I think it is, but I think they went the wrong way with it. Like, I think a lot of the, like...
Yeah, I got my token hater here. I don't even have to do that.
I think a lot of the lines that Jim Lee adds, like, what I like in the aesthetic of designs isn't adding more. It's seeing what works and taking away what is excessive. And I think he just added a lot of excessive stuff to
honestly,
a lot of the stuff.
When you read Justice League number 1, in the back they have like a bunch of their preliminary sketches and whatnot.
The character designs.
Yeah. I really think, like, of all of them, I think the Aquaman one should stay.
Yes, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But like what they have for Superman, like one of the early ones they have for Superman,
Interesting stuff, you know, that obviously went through the tube.
And,
you might have been, not to say you specifically, but I think maybe what you were saying about them trying things out, Jim Lee trying things out on paper and seeing what works. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like a lot of readers feel like they were taking, you know, Geoff Johns and the rest of them were taking their fans to heart, at least on some level. You think maybe they made some of these changes because of a, you know, fan response, like online and such?
Well, I mean, Superman's lost his underwear, which I'm totally cool with.
It's about time he dropped him drawers, man.
I'm not too down with the armor. It doesn't make too much sense.
They said it'll be explained in the book.
It's Kryptonian armor.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it'll satisfy.
I don't know if that's like a great... It seems like a needless story. Like a story to explain the costume that he has now rather than... Oh, we gave him a costume because this is needed.
Right.
You know, I think it's the other way around. Mm. I mean, they do all look like more like a cohesive team,
yeah.
which I mean, they're from all eras of comic book history, which you don't have with Marvel. You have, like, you know, the 60s right. and 70s, and that's right. why I think the Avengers, or at least the classic Avengers lineup, looks so much more cohesive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good try, but...
Let me ask you one more specific question. I haven't asked anyone yet. How many of these books do you think you're going to try reading to see where they wind up going for you?
Well, I'm going to be buying a lot of number ones. Like... just to try them out. I might not actually pick them up until trade
okay.
later on. But
you mean like full story runs, you might wait.
Yeah. Especially like I love Paul Cornell, but I don't think he reads very well month to month.
Okay.
Like I'll pick them up in trade.
Okay.
But I'll probably pick up a lot just to see how they are, if they grab me, you know.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Well, yeah. Comic fan giving DC a chance.
Atomic City Comics subscriber.
You know it. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Yes, sir. Step right up. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Jim Teasdale, also awesome. Known as Goon Number Whoever from Fighters High.
Excellent plug. You got to be happy about that.
Shameless.
Yes.
So what's your feelings on this, man? You're out here at midnight for two comic books.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, this is kind of like me getting back into it again. I've been away from comics for a while, so like I even had to ask Keo, like, you know, could he give me like a Cliff Notes version of what was going on since then with Flashpoint and everything? And after, you know, reading the book itself and not giving out any spoilers, I could say I'm actually intrigued on what's going on. I like the way that the storyline kind of picked up as like more like a running start, and I'm like, oh hey, this is this person, we're gonna start here. They really gave it a good start off, in my opinion.
Okay.
I liked it. I'm liking the changes. I've seen what they've done. They have kept some things the same that I thought were really well put together. It's really hard not trying not to give any spoilers.
Yeah, I know. I mean, inevitably, some of these conversations are we're going to wind up coming back to the same people because, you know, you know what you know and you've read what you've read. But
yeah, but I mean, like, and like he was saying, I did like the fact that in the back of this issue, though, they do have all the character sketches and they explain, you know, this is what's happening with this costume. This is what we did there. And I have been interested in what Jim Lee's doing. I've seen him on Conan. He's been doing a lot of stuff with his Conan's little cartoon character.
The Flaming Sea.
So I think it's funny when they put him in, like, all the Teen Titan and other episodes. But, right. Like, what he did, I mean, some people may not like it, but Superman, for example, I mean, seeing the new way that it's all set up and everything, you really can't tell that it's armor, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell when you look at it in more detail when it's close up and the line and the sketching. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think it works for him.
Yeah, the one thing is that people say that, you know, Superman's invulnerable. He doesn't need armor. Superman gets his ass kicked like every other comic. So, right. I mean, he needs
Hey, let's go all the way back to when we had the Death of Superman series, when I was really hardcore into collecting comics. How many times did he tear that darn suit, you know? Will save on the tailoring, though.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate, you know what I mean, what you're saying on two levels. On the one level, a lot of fans, definitely like yourself, haven't been reading comics regularly for a long time, and this is going to be a huge push to at least get them starting to read books from the beginning to see what happens. Whether they like it or not, we'll be told by time, but it's bringing people in to see, you know, what happens. And the other thing that we were talking about costumes, I think it's probably going to wind up being a lot like a lot of other costumes and a lot of other characters before. It'll depend on who's drawing it. You know, you'll see a different take of, you know, the same suit, but drawn very slightly different depending on who's drawn and what kind of schedule it is.
I mean, if you look at, like, some of the pictures ahead of time, I mean, we see, like, even in one of the pictures, it has Superman wearing just the shirt, a short version of the cape and jeans.
That's a different story conversation.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like you see, like, it's depending on what they're going to do with it. And it's the way comics go, you know? I mean, always something different the way it comes out. But that's the best thing about it, you know? They just keep on going. So.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah, not a
Thanks,
problem.
Jim.
All right. I want to know... We got all these announcements of different creators and different books. Is this going to be a long-term thing, or are they going to do like a storyline, and then you're going to get some unknown person?
I don't know.
You mean
creators? Because I can't see into the future. Okay?
I'm saying.
Well, so let's wait. Let's try not to be negative about it. Let it go. Let it flow and see what happens.
Let me just answer this answer your question with another question, Surfer. At what point has any comic been done in American comic style by any creative team for any extended period of time in the modern era? And why have they not? And you know the answers to that, and I'm sure lots of people can think about it, but honestly, The way comics are made today is doubtful. What we want is good, regardless of whether or not it winds up being the same, right? Those are rhetorical questions. You got to pass the mic. Mr. Toppin!
Mr. Toppin, yes. I was told there was supposed to be orange soda.
Oh, orange soda!
Orange soda? Good, okay.
Introduce yourself, fool.
This is Khalif.
Oh, okay.
What's up, man?
Made for research episodes of Baltimore Comic Con and, what was that, Dust Bowl, y'all called it? That VG Expo?
Oh, man! It was just us. It was just us there.
Yeah, you gotta go back on a few episodes on that.
Yeah. So, Khalif, you've been, you know, a friend of ours for a while. You've been, you know, a constant comic buyer at the store for a long time. You've been anticipating this and, you know, checking out Flashpoint. What's your take on all
this? At first, when I heard the announcement they were doing a reboot, I thought it was like, oh, we're going to retell how Superman came to Smallville, how he was raised by John and Martha, how Batman lost his parents. I thought, like, well, what the hell is that for? Yeah. And then when I started reading Flashpoint, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little, they changed something here.
Right.
And I was just reading it a little bit. I saw what happened, no spoilers, but I'm ready for this.
Okay. All right. Yeah, are you excited about the possible story changes, the costume changes? I mean, is anything necessarily got you specifically jazzed?
Like new character traits, like new personality traits for some of these characters, and, you know, just different tweaks and whatnot. Like, what are you looking forward to?
Well, as far as Superman goes, I saw a little bit in Flashpoint 5. His little personality change, I kind of liked that more than the, you know, goody two shoes.
It was a little different.
Yeah. Especially in, what was it, Project Superman number 2. I'm not going to go into that, but that was some crazy stuff that went down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're ready for this then?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You plan on picking up a lot of these number ones to see what happens?
Yeah. I want to start with the Static Shock, Superman, nice. Batman, Justice League. I really want to get into Batman because I've been more of a Batman reader than all the other comics in DC. Mm-hmm. So I really want
to. And you got a ton of Batman books to choose from. There's like 74.
it seems like a lot of the Batman storylines are going to continue, which is one of the groups of storylines. Like Superman's getting a large reboot. Green Lantern and Batman seem to be bringing a lot of that storyline along. You know, from recent issues. You know, I guess. So, I mean, you're obviously excited that you're going to be able to continue reading the Batman stuff that you've been reading instead of having to start off an entirely new storyline.
Yeah, but I think I'm not like really sure if they're going to keep continuing with the Batman Incorporated, or
Incorporated's coming back. We'll see how the plot shifts to make it work. Mm-hmm. But I've already read a lot of things that make it apparent that Batman Incorporated is not only coming back, but that a lot of the storyline from previous issues is going to in some way continue, even if it has a different way of being incorporated. But none of us read any of the books that ain't here, so we'll see in the next, you know, several weeks.
Alright.
Thanks, Lee. All right. Appreciate that. Introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Mike Jones.
Jones! Mike Jones. Thank you! Thank you! Mike Jones! Thank you. What's the deal, man?
I'm actually a Marvel guy. I just saw this as a chance to really jump in and figure out what's going on with DC. I needed a new point to try to get back into comic books anyway.
Okay, all right.
So, I always like Superman, iffy on Batman, so...
Okay.
Just looking for a chance to jump in and see what other people got there going on.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that, you know, DC was counting on. I mean, they need new readers. They can't, you know... So, like, this is good. This is a good starting point for people who are, like, mostly... you know, Marvel.
Yeah, this is,
you know,
definitely
this is a good starting on point. Yeah, because, like, you know, if they would have kept going with the storylines the way they were going and whatnot, there's no starting on point.
It's true.
At all.
It's really
like, you know, like you gotta.
Oh, they're starting over.
You have a lot of friends that read DC books that are kind of like telling you what's going on and trying to get you involved, or?
Most of my friends don't like DC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a good thing for them. It's a good thing for you, too, because, I mean, if you wind up reading an issue of Justice League and you think it's interesting enough to read more, you're going to tell people about it, too.
Definitely.
DC's got to be banking on that. Okay, all right. So you're excited enough to come out at midnight and grab the first issue. I mean...
Exactly.
Man. Okay.
Because they're doing something with the first issue, so it has to be something good.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping.
Okay.
Oh, right. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mike Jones. So easy.
My name's Ken.
Ken!
That's all you're going to get, but...
He's running from the law! I got warrants! Ken on the run!
I was initially, like, totally, like, uninterested.
Uninterested?
Yeah, because I don't usually ride with DC like that.
Okay.
Until I heard you mention Static Shock. I think he mentioned it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pick up that first issue because I've always been like a really big fan of DC's animated universe.
Okay.
More so than their comics.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be getting the first issue of Static Shock to check it out.
Okay, I hear that.
As far
man.
As like the rest of the issues, I'm gonna wait and see how it pans out.
Okay, do you have friends that are gonna wind up having those first issues? You're gonna be able to check them out from them, or
besides Mike Jones?
Mike Jones is one of my close friends, so I'll probably be reading his.
Okay, all right. Do you have any particular anticipation about this? I mean, you're here at midnight, presumably because Mike Jones is grabbing number ones. But for yourself, do you? Even if you weren't going to buy these issues, this is really important for me too. If you're not necessarily the target market for it, but you're interested enough because it's a new number one, what do you think they can actually achieve with, you know, a relaunch of their universe? You know, what would get you excited beyond a Static Shock number one or something? What are the things they could do that would get you interested?
It depends on, like, what they're going to be doing with Batman.
Okay, all right.
Like, one thing about DC I didn't really like is that they seem to overexposed three of their main characters too much.
Okay. All right.
Whatever do you mean?
Yeah, speak on that, brother.
I've never.
It seems like if you're not Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman in DC, they don't treat you with respect.
Or maybe recently replaced Wonder Woman with Green Lantern. And yeah. But totally understand. Yeah. Totally understand. You feel like they don't spread the wealth enough.
No, they really don't. So hopefully now that they're relaunching, they're going to start giving other characters their shine, like Static Shock and others.
Okay, can I ask you a question? You sound like you're obviously a fan of Justice League Unlimited, by the way. I just got it. Big time. Yeah. Okay. If they made a Justice League Unlimited style comic, you'd be there for that.
I'd be the first person in line.
Hear that, DC?
You know, what he was
Thank
saying.
You, sir.
What he was saying.
Yes, surfer.
Yes, sir.
It's really up
to... How do you get the mic again? go ahead, sir.
It's really up to the fans for everybody else to get love in DC. If you're not buying it, then they're just going to stick to what they know.
So you're saying use your dollars as your votes.
You got it. I mean, if you like Batgirl, buy Batgirl. If you want some Young Justice, get some Young Justice. But if you're tired of Batman and Superman just because they overexposed, you have to keep buying the other books. Sales is the bottom line.
That's right. I appreciate that, sir.
He's very stern about that. Like, I was almost like concerned for my safety.
You're shaking your boots
because a little. Mike Jones too.
Mike Jones
was upset too.
Yeah, I hear that.
See what you're doing, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Rob. And,
hi, Rob.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
I'm actually like the last guy who was on here, Kenny. I wasn't a big DC fan. I was more into Marvel. I was Marvel really hardcore, and I couldn't really connect that well with DC. But now that they relaunched, and with a lot of stuff that's been said about it, it's got me interested. Especially because I had stopped reading Marvel for a while, it's got me interested in seeing what DC's come to bring to the table. And you know, they're you know, been some interesting things about what's going on with the comics these days, about, you know, the relaunch and with the characters and everything like that. So hopefully, you know, it's something that is better story-wise and you know, keeps it going on. If it's something that does do good and it's something that does get my interest, I'll buy them.
Can I ask you something too? I haven't talked to anybody specifically about this, but I mean Captain and I have definitely talked about this. Everybody has kind of, you know, supposed a little bit that DC was trying to tie their comic universe, if not specifically story-wise, at least aesthetically, to what their movie universe needs to be if they're going to try to attack Marvel in the theater. You know, they're really their only success, and everybody knows to date, is the Batman franchise, and the rest of them have kind of floundered.
Right.
Do you feel like if they got, even if, you know, there's only a third Batman movie before they restart those, but do you feel like if DC had a movie universe that really, really spoke to what the characters were doing in the comics aesthetically, that would get you charged about it because you might see it in the theater and then come read the book?
That's hard to say because it really depends the way that the comic book movie industry is going right now. You know, it's being saturated right now. So it's losing a lot of people, losing a lot of interest, and people, the batting average of comic book movies nowadays is really low.
Better. You know, I mean, Marvel's obviously.
Well, it's all Marvel.
Yeah, but it's Marvel. Right. But yeah, exactly. And the thing is, so it's one of those things where you think of Xbox 360 and PS3. You know, when each one of those came out,
right.
And why they are in the position they are in now.
Video game fans.
Right. So okay. It's like this: is it too late for DC to do that? And they should just stick with doing that, or can they move to maybe the television
okay.
part of
okay.
it.
Okay.
You right. know, instead of movies,
I got you.
Use television
Something
because
it hasn't been attacked.
It hasn't been attacked. Yeah, I mean, you. It's been attacked a little bit by little Marvel,
right.
but. Very slim.
Right.
You know, maybe that's something that DC can attack, you know, and take over that way instead, you know, instead of going movie wise, because that might be the next thing, you know, to go. Because, you know, I think a lot of things are, you know, especially cable, a lot of good shows are on cable that are based on comic books, like, you know,
and more to come. Yeah.
Right. Like The Walking Dead yeah. and stuff like that. I mean, you know, maybe that's something they should, you know, think about doing, depending on how this new series. This new change, you know, works for them.
But I mean, you're excited enough not only to be out here at midnight, you know,
oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
to be on the mic giving your opinions about it, even if you're not going to buy every one of these number ones.
Right.
Your interest seems peaked.
I will say it is going to depend all on, you know, this particular one that's out tonight. And, you know, if it's something that piques the interest, then what the other ones will, you know, end up doing. You know, if they catch me, if I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna keep up with it. Because if it's got my interest, I want to know and see more and keep
gotcha.
Reading.
Gotcha.
You know, so
this is obviously going to be an ongoing conversation with you and with all the other fans as
right.
the rest of these number ones and going forward in the months to see how these storylines evolve.
Exactly.
All right. Would anybody else like to step up, give their opinions about the DC's new 52? We want to hear what you got to say. Oh, Mr. Topping.
Something I was wondering with the Man of Steel film. I'm sure everybody's seen the photos of what the new was costume looks like.
That yeah. production shot is real nice.
Now, do y'all think are they going?
Oh, hold on. That was harsh. That was harsh. Look,
that is
all I know is he looks like he's ready to hit something.
Yeah.
And I need that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. This is a whole different conversation.
All right. But with the suit, it does resemble the Superman reboot costume.
Yes.
But you think they'll go by that? There's new storyline, or are they gonna stay with the traditional Superman storyline?
I don't think we really know, but I do think that.
Well, they said
and I talked about yeah. the Lantern's outfit in the movie. About how they looked a lot like the Flashpoint.
Yeah, no, I'm
oh, yeah.
not too
crazy. Well, yeah, 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 just like for Flash.
Kind of,
yeah.
you know, conversation between the two groups.
Yeah.
But they did say that they're you know, even for the movie, they're tweaking his origins just a little bit. Like, you know, just, I think his life in Smallville, that sort of thing. So hopefully, maybe they'll give it a little bit of a an Earth One feel to it. Or maybe they'll, you know, they're taking cues from, you know, the new universe thing. I hope.
Because that's all the costume. Well, wait a minute. That looks just like the reboot costume.
I mean, he doesn't have, like, the collar thing, but, you know, the neck. Turtleneck thingy thing in the.
Yeah.
In
Let's
the,
stop getting so okay. nitpicky about this shit.
All right.
Would any other fans like to step up and give their opinions of DC's new 52? I know it doesn't seem like it, but someone actually wants to hear what you think about this. Please step up, give your views and opinions.
Oh, Mr. John Dallaire.
Oh, my goodness. I see. Oh! Okay. Grab the mic then, sir. Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
I am John.
I am John. All right, John, you're here at midnight for two comic books. It's obviously a big deal. You're a fan.
Not so much of superhero comics.
Okay.
This is the first time I've come out at midnight for a pop culture event other than a concert.
Okay.
Since Return of the King.
So this is a big deal. I mean, you at least want to know what's going to happen with this.
I'm starting to make my living in comics, and I want to make sure these are going to fly.
Shameless plug. Word. Feel free. But why is it important to you to know what they're doing in reference to yourself working in the industry?
This is a big shift. It's a risk. It's a big risk that a giant publisher is taking, and it's going to be sink or swim. And I'd like to see it, you know, swim.
Okay. All right. That's more than fair.
I want to eat next year.
Yeah, you don't That's necessarily motivation. See this being directly tied to you having more work, but you would like to see it expand the industry.
If this doesn't work, then there's not a lot that the big companies can do as far as big risks to make it work. To keep
right. But one more thing. You said you're not usually a really big fan of the mainstream comics, but like you say, if this doesn't work, there's not a lot that, and you said, the big companies. So this really is a conversation about the big two. Because the smaller
yeah.
guys, they get affected by this, but they don't have to try to remake the wheel the same way.
The smaller guys aren't Walmart. They aren't these giant mega corporations. They can respond and pivot and go in different directions where they need to. I read recently some indie comics sold 150,000 copies digital and only 3,000 copies in print.
So the market's changing.
It's a different... I was just talking with Daryl about that back there.
Right.
It's yeah, things are changing. Things are changing. But I don't want to see print go away by any means.
No,
yeah.
I don't think any of us do. I don't think any of us do.
So this big risk needs to be taken by all the big companies. I mean, the stunts that Marvel keeps on pulling, mm-hmm. it's just more of the same. More of the same.
Right.
I'd like to see,
some type of innovation.
Something different. Yeah. Something different.
Okay.
Different
all right.
Format. Different, stop flooding the market. Consolidate your books.
Gotcha.
Shonen Jump format, maybe. Something like that.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Hey, give me a shameless plug real quick, because you are trying to make your industry in comics right now. What are you working on?
I'm doing the colors for Age of Bronze with Eric Schanauer.
Nice, okay.
It's going to be dropping in digital later in October, and then hopefully in print next year.
These are new collected volumes. Collected volumes of previous work.
We're starting back with issue one and doing it in color for the first time.
Nice.
And then I just finished the pencils on another book with Eric Esquivel, who's doing a bunch of books for Modern Mythology Press and Moonstone Comics.
Okay.
Nice. So he's got Blackest Terror dropping, I think, in 2 months, and then Thor Unkillable Thunder Christ right after that.
Nice.
Moon Girl.
Unkillable Thunder Christ is the most
that's the best name ever.
Incredible name I have ever heard. Awesome. Like that put thunder. Fear in my heart just hearing that.
Man. Badass than just Mighty it's Thor, man.
Yeah.
That I mean, not for nothing, that sounds like a book that I'd have to read just by the title alone.
It's, like, I kick ass stuff. For the
I've seen a lot of the pages and a lot of the artwork, and it's some good stuff coming up.
All right. Well,
so I'm working on another book with them that's going to come out hopefully later this year or the beginning of next year.
Nice.
That's kind of a riff on Superman, Batman, so I have to look at what they're doing.
Right, of course. You got to be able to remember them properly. Well, congratulations on that, and I'm really glad to hear that the industry is affecting everybody, and hopefully continuously for the positive. I'm glad to see everybody's got some kind of optimism about it too.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah,
I have to be.
Yeah, indeed.
I just start crying.
Thank you, sir.
I think that's the funny thing about that is that even though people that are not necessarily into DC, like for me, I'm was a big time Marvel fan. I'm optimistic and hopeful for this for them. Because I would like for them to actually do good and have some good content and have something good out. So it's not like, there's people saying, DC's in the, we're actually pulling for them.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I think it's like, kind of what he was mentioning. I think even though a lot of people are into the whole, big two, Marvel has been so saturated in the market, and been such the big one. Pretty much, we want to see something else.
Right.
Something else making it and, doing your thing.
I'll tell you what else is going to make it. It's going to be a Word podcast. Word!
Say word, damn it.
Thank you. That was just a caffeine shock. Don't pay any attention.
Okay. That sort of startled me.
You got me excited, man. Would any other fans like to step up and tell us what they think of DC's New 52? Your views and...
Uh-oh.
Until you finish chewing
the man who's doing the damn thing.
Blah, 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 blah. Give the man the mic. Let the man speak.
I'm just looking at the board on the wall here, and...
We've got all the covers.
All the covers. I think they kind of dropped the ball by sticking with the current DC logo, though.
You think the logo needed to be redone again?
A new...
But they just made the new logo a couple years ago.
It's terrible. It's kind of like... Like the Iverson era Sixers jersey, it was like nice and kind of like iconic, but everybody likes the 70s, early 80s version. So I think they should have updated the original again.
You think maybe a new logo would have helped?
They're gonna revamp everything. Revamp everything.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But otherwise, I mean, you get in the comic books. In general, just the stories get so convoluted and, you do lose a lot of your audience. And with, different spinoff issues and everything. So hopefully, add some kind of continuity to these characters and, what they're going through.
Are you here for the free pizza and the talk on the mic? Or are you buying those issues too?
I'm coming back tomorrow for the issue.
You're still here at midnight.
support the Word podcast.
That's right. Say word.
Because he's always doing it.
Talking about.
He's always doing the damn thing. That's my man.
Right, right. Hey, it seems like we got another previous member of the Word podcast here trying to get on the mic.
Keone. Well, hi everybody.
What you got to say there, sir?
Oh no. I.
Oh god, no. I've been pretty much like not really against really anything except really just one title.
I mean, it should be noted, of course, that you work with us selling these books.
Yes, and I have to hear it in vocally and literally on Facebook and Twitter post, and oh god, it drove me to drinking. The only book I actually everything I'm pretty much okay with. Except for Batgirl. That's the only book that I have like the biggest issue with.
Now you know a lot of people are saying exactly the same thing, but you know, and it's been said online everywhere, even though Barbara Gordon's Batgirl, Killing Joke still happened, blah 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 blah. Can I just ask one question? And anybody else here can chime in. I don't care what you have to say, but feel free to talk. Doesn't it make more sense that she got healed? I mean, haven't we been waiting 20 years for her to just like get some kind of technology that's everywhere else to get
you? That's the thing. Like, you have Thanagarian technology. You have Kandorian technology. You have apocalyptic technology. Wayne technology.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of shit.
The shit that comes out of Batman's head. And you mean to tell me that she couldn't get her spine back, but apparently she goes through therapy. She goes through therapy.
I hear that.
She's able to walk.
She got that, Daniel Woodwicky.
He got that little exosuit.
Well, not only that, but the simple fact.
Wait a minute, who are you?
Oh, by the
way. I mean, where'd he come from? I'm just saying. Who the hell are you?
What's going on? My name is Frankie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hi, Frankie.
you wanted to interrupt the man. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, do it.
Well, the thing is, after so many years, she's worked with so many heroes. She worked in Suicide Squad. Almost everyone owes her a favor.
Word.
So. You know, a lot of people were upset initially. Even
they gave up a piece of her. Each hero gave up a piece of stem cells, like it was Rudy. Like when they're giving up their jersey for him to play, it's like, here, have a piece of my stem cell.
So what? You can walk. You're angry about this, or this makes sense to you?
No, this makes a lot of sense to me because it's just like everyone owes her. She's like the encyclopedia for superheroes, and. You know, she's finally getting to move again, and they're trying to explain it in a way that things in the past still happened. But
that's my problem. My problem is she's actually, I think she's better as Oracle than she was as Batgirl.
But there's nothing to say that she won't also be able to be Oracle. It's just to say that more importantly, she won't be Bat-Oracle.
Girl.
Don't ever do that again.
No, I mean, like me personally, my favorite Batgirl is Cassandra Cain. That's like hands down my favorite.
I understand.
That's my only issue.
For anyone hearing smack in the background, that was her for trying to get the mic again. It's okay.
No, I just think that I always found the character Batgirl a very a Mary Sue character, mainly from the Batman Adam West show.
I got you.
So to me it's like who cares, And then you have this really interesting character that knew how to kick your ass but didn't know how to talk. I thought that was a really cool concept. And she was like the number three martial artist in the DC universe.
I got you.
So and then they do the reboot and then they're like, oh well, we're not gonna deal with her right now. And I'm like, well,
But there's nothing to say that she won't be incorporated in the universe.
They've actually already talked about that. The current Batgirl, Stephanie Brown, is going back to being Spoiler, and eventually they will address Cassandra Cain.
Well, so, my thing is,
I just gotta interrupt you both. No offense, because I'm the hater, but this is exactly why there's a midnight release for Justice League number one, right. And why the Word Podcast is here talking to the fans about it. Because regardless of how difficult it can be to get into the universe, there's a lot of people that have spent a lot of time caring about these characters, caring about the storylines, and they desperately, desperately need to see what kind of payoff for their investment is going to come through in this relaunch. And I am stopping you guys from talking about the Batgirl bit, not because I don't care, but more importantly because this is why there's a greater conversation. This is why we're asking you all what you think about it, because it's a big deal, even if it's a big deal to a fewer amount of people than it needs to be. And I know that both of you, both from your faces and from talking, I know that both of you really feel like this is a necessary push, even if it doesn't wind up pleasing it.
Right. Well, one of the best things about it is that there's also the Wildstorm universe. So you can include you can change a lot of those factors. My friend and I were talking about Cassandra, since you have Grifter Grifter, who's a Wildstorm character in the universe, and then obviously you can't have a Grifter without having Dakota, so you can't have Zealot. So you can easily make like the Cassandra character train Kota Warrior, yes, yes. And that'd be just badass.
Right. I mean,
you know, so
right, of course.
You could do plenty of things with it.
Yeah. I hear that. I mean, it's gonna be really interesting. I think, Captain. I think you agree with this because we talked about this too.
But
you know, 1 month is one thing. But yeah. 1 year later, 1 year from now, when we're having this conversation.
You know, people keep saying, you know, oh, all these books won't be here in a year. Like, yeah, you're probably right. But I mean, other books are gonna take its place. You know, as they get their footing, you know, with this new universe and its new writing. So, you know, I just see. Hopefully, it's nothing but success.
Okay, you know what? I totally agree. With anybody else that hasn't had a chance to speak, want to weigh in, give their opinions about what's going on with the new 52? More fans, please.
I'm Chuck, and I think something needs to be addressed as Aquaman. The final return of him.
Okay.
I liked him. I never grew up reading him because he wasn't really around, and I'm kind of too young, and he hasn't had a long-running series for a while, and it's finally getting someone who can make him badass character, and it'll make it easier to defend him as a cool character with Geoff Johns and Ivan Rice being on him.
So you're looking forward to an Aquaman that isn't getting laughed at all the time.
Yeah, he's stuck with the 60s reputation, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole little campy look.
Right.
Yeah.
He's definitely. Yeah, it sucks. He's a true. He, even with the hook hand, he still wasn't
getting respect.
He wasn't getting respect with the hook hand.
Nice, right? But I mean, if nothing else, I mean, other things are exciting you about the new relaunch.
Yeah, the new Superman Action Comics is definitely. I like Grant Morrison a lot, and I think there's a new kind of interesting look on him, more of a working class version.
Okay. You like the t-shirt jeans?
I'm not having as much problem. I'm a bit more with the armor, but. The working class I could see as a good thing. I mean, it's more honing back to the people
that
he's trying to protect and not some crazy space entity that he's usually dealing with.
Okay.
But I think there's definitely a lot of good stuff. There's some good things that are going to come from this, some things that aren't as good.
So you're interested enough to be able to find out what good comes of it.
Yeah, I'll probably test out the majority of the stuff there. Maybe not buy all of them, but I'll buy a fair amount just to see what's going on.
Okay.
Sounds all right.
Good. Thanks, Chuck.
I have a question about Aquaman.
Of course you have a question, sir.
Can they get him back up to...
Can we just have like a button that makes a sigh for every time Surfer talks?
Can
you make that?
Yeah. Y'all will miss me one day when I'm gone. But can they...
You sure I'll be around? You positive?
Can they get him back up to being part... He used to be part of a big four. And then like he just fell off after Super Friends.
Well, I mean, Super Friends didn't really treat him all that well. I mean, no. I mean, let's think about it. If you really want to go history, Batman had his 60s stint as being camp. So he was able to come out of that because, you know, everything that happens winds up having somebody else go, let's change it from that to something, right? You change from something to something. Batman had the Batusi. He had to become badass after that. He couldn't become more, you know what I mean? Come on, yeah, there was no more way to camp that up. And Aquaman didn't really get incredibly camped. Okay, you're right. Schumacher fucked it up. You're right. Okay. All right. But Schumacher's way easier to forget than nipples on the Batsuit. I mean, then excuse me. Obviously not. Schumacher's way easier to forget than the Batusi. You know what I mean? That shit is sticking around. But what you're saying
is... everybody that was in the Super Friends were forgiven and... You know, brought back up to a high status.
Black Lightning took a while because he didn't have leggings.
But I'm saying, like, Aquaman, that's what everybody know him from. And then it's that idea he's smiling.
That was the fish telepathy. You remember that?
Like,
I mean, it's cool. I want it. I'm just saying.
Like, in those episodes, he did nothing. And then, like, once every 5 or 6 episodes, he jumped in the water and caught a few fish to help him.
Well, let's also, sir, I mean, you're a big enough fan that we can talk about this straight up. We know that characters are not inherently strong or weak. Writers make them that way.
Right.
We know that the reasons that we know the characters we know in the way we know is because they've had so many issues of them being badass for us to only know them that way. If Batman had been written, you know, like the 60s Batman continuously, we'd be talking about him like he was a joke too. But he was able to grow out of that, and all of us were able to benefit as a result of it. So right now, maybe there's actually a desire to say, hey, wait a minute, we've had Aquaman longer than, you know, Prince Namor the Submariner. And no one ever thought Namor was a bitch, so, you know what I mean? Maybe we need to do something about this.
Yeah, but this is something to
Nah. Let's not talk about that because it all comes down to writers. And Namor's not tougher than Aquaman. He's not.
I thought Namor was older than Aquaman.
He could, what, older plot, what, story-wise?
Yeah, like, Namor came out in, like, what, late 30s, right?
No.
When did Aquaman
come out? No. Namor didn't come around until...
Yeah, I mean, he came out right after Human Torch.
Yeah, that's not... Even if you're talking years older, you're talking about having been around in story continuity longer.
Right.
I mean, it's not really it's six of one and a half dozen of another, and the amount of time spent isn't about necessarily decade after decade. It's about any given year of a comic being iconic.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, Namor had that Invaders bit. He was fighting Nazis. That's pretty badass. But Aquaman, you know, what was he fighting when he came out? Like you said, Super Friends, you know, people remember him from the woman, you know what I mean, talking to fish. It's all about the way that they do the character.
I watched the 60s Aquaman, and I always thought he was badass, you know, making those little water balls, even though that may sound corny.
I was about to say, you said that, so I don't,
but still, I don't have to tease. Those little 10-minute cartoons, he seemed like he was regal and tough, and, you know, he took care of business.
Right.
He wasn't, like, smiling, like, hey. Hey kids, here's a lesson for today.
All right, well, regardless of all of that, I did see, Surfer, a 4-page preview in a certain publication from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
From San Diego, of the first 4 pages of Aquaman. And, I think it was the first four. And it was, without spoiling anything for anybody, it's not really spoilerific, but, you know, he stops a bank heist in the middle of a city.
And the cops clown his ass.
Well, they tried the first five pages. They tried to, but basically, what it is,
they're just getting on every joke that anyone's really ever made.
Right.
The cops are
right,
and he's not feeling any of it.
Right.
And then, you know, pretty much intimidates the shit out of him.
But I'm going to say that, Captain, me and you, which, you know, are more important than everybody else's opinions here.
Right.
You know, this is the Word Podcast.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But but I was not as impressed by that 4-page.
I remember.
I remember. You know, my hate is loud, you know. But it definitely, it motivated you to think that maybe they've got a positive new take that'll resonate with people.
You know, I just think if you look back, like, you remember that movie, The 8 Mile, the Eminem thing, where he came out, I think at the end, and, like, insulted the shit out of himself.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, got that respect after that. I think this is the case with the Aquaman book. And I'm really, really looking forward to that book.
Now that's a different take. If he was self-depreciating enough to say all of your jokes don't mean shit to me, that would be interesting.
Yeah, well, not like that, he's saying it, but the book.
Plot. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right. That would be interesting. Yes, sir, would you like to step up? Hold on, make sure your mic's on.
Testing.
Okay. All right. Who are you?
I'm Hector.
Okay.
Hi, Hector.
Like, it would be a step up if you were to come out and say, yeah, y'all could say this, that, and the third, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Because if you recall, like, in the older comics, he does, like, come down on himself. Like, I'm Aquaman. What can I do? Like, even when they first founded the Justice League, it was like, why would they kidnap me? I can't do anything. I'm just Aquaman.
Right.
So if you were to come out now in the remake and say, you know what? You can say what you want. I talk to fish. I got the same powers as SpongeBob. But you know what? I'm still badass.
Nice!
Wait, I just
want to
say this.
Word!
He's like, that's my thing. Oh, that's what I do.
Man.
But you know what? I can call it Bashar to chomp your ass, bitch. And that's... Yes. Yes.
Word. Would anybody else like to... any other fans like to voice their opinions on DC's New 52? Step up!
What books are you guys waiting for?
I know
the captain.
This on purpose, but go ahead.
I know the captain is heavily a Superman fan.
Yeah.
And you know, action is something that we've both been talking about a lot.
I'd say that, like, going through, like, what's coming out each week, I'd say I'm getting about half of the books on each one. Superman, Action Comics, those two most definitely. For the first time, Supergirl, I'm getting, because I like her new attitude, you know? She is, and they're making her more alien, not in, like, features, but just in her frame of mind and her personality.
I think they're using her as, like, the perfect antithesis to Superman.
Yeah, like, they're making her, like, straight-up Kryptonian. Not like that. Superboy, I'm excited for it. I'm hopeful. Like, I got my blue Lantern ring going crazy right now, because I'm hopeful That was nerdy as shit. You know, but I'm really hoping, you know, like I still know the full story behind it, but I see he's mostly like, you know, cyborg or, you know, robotic or some shit. So I'm hoping that's going to be really good. The ones that I'm pulling for, and you guys, I say this every week, the ones that I'm pulling for is Batwing, the African Batman. I'm pulling, please do well. Mr. Terrific, I'm hoping he does well. Static, I'm pretty sure it's going to do well because DC needs a Spidey.
The bent here.
Oh, man, I'm not, you know, I'm not, you know, yeah, niggas, you know, but, you know, I'm a big Smallville fan. Shut up if you go.
I support you. I'm right. Also small.
No, thank you, Lee.
I hate on it. Just
shut up.
It's
okay.
Destroy
stop
him.
That. Stop that.
Don't make the captain stop talking. That's not good.
I like what they're doing with Green Arrow. I think they're really going to try to Tony Stark him up a little bit. Not to say that they're, you know, DC is copying everything that Marvel does or anything like that.
Been a weapons maker for a long time.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things.
And
so I really hope.
Flashpoint was excellent.
Yeah.
So.
And Gio, you will agree, his costume, all kinds of Smallville in that one.
Shut up.
So happy.
You know what? I'm just cutting here with all this fucking. Gush Smallville nonsense.
Also,
is doing well.
Also, but. the one, another one that I think is going to be great is Red Hood and the Outlaws.
That might be a good.
That's going to be. I think it's going to be really good. You know, those like three problem kids right there, and you know, go out there and fighting crime their own way, and I like that.
Right.
Teen Titans, I'm looking forward to. Anything with Green Lantern slapped on, I'm looking forward to. I don't understand all the bitching about Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad. Whatever, they changed her look a little bit. Get over
terrible,
it.
Terrible, dude.
I mean,
you're not a Harley Quinn fan.
OMAC will go no further than four issues. I'm sorry, that looks whack.
It really does. Look
Hawk
and Dove.
Oh, that goes no further than half an issue.
No, actually,
why is anyone buying that book?
You know that there's Rob Liefeld. You remember his Levi's Jean commercial?
We were just watching
that
last
two
week.
People that love him for that shit, man.
I know.
That's creepy.
That's bullshit.
Did y'all see the Levi's shit? Never mind. I don't care. It is. But he did it.
Blackhawks. Blackhawks.
You know what? The weird part is, and I know you're gonna, you know, hate me for hating on this way.
How much further can I hate you, Joe?
That's a good point. You know, give me a hug. I'm really looking forward to the Fringe books. I'm looking forward to Men of War.
Okay.
I'm looking for All-Star Western.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to DCU Presents. And the main reason I want to talk about those is because those are all anthology books. Those all do something that I've wanted from DC for a while, which is when the other gentleman was talking about, how they don't spread the wealth enough. And I really feel like that's true. You know, it's not just about giving a character a title. It's about featuring them in something like The Brave and the Bold, or making a book that, you know, does the equivalent of Justice League Unlimited, the cartoon, which is just to say that the DC universe is way bigger even than the flagship Big Seven. And that all of the rest of these characters, even if they're not saving the entire world, they're really interesting characters with interesting stories. Men of War is going to be like a whole new modern Sergeant Rock kind of deal.
Yep.
I'm really interested in what they could do with that. All-Star Western, you know, there's a lot of people that were really, really digging on Jonah Hex and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So maybe that can increase the desire of more than just the capes within DC's universe.
And maybe they can redo the Jonah Hex movie, but good this time.
And take out Megan Fox.
Yes. That makes everything better, except for Transformers 3.
Hurt. But I will say, if you're looking forward to about half of these books, the Hator is looking forward to the ones that are good.
Yeah.
And while that'll come down to my personal preference, I'm going to tell you, the Hator's hate is harsh.
Yeah.
I didn't make it bad. I just told you
it was.
Look, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to champion every book that I think is great, and I'm going to tell everybody to buy those books, two copies at a time.
I think another one that sticks out for me, and I'm really glad that he's back in green, will be Sinestro. I'm glad to see that, and I wonder what they're going to do with that.
I was really, really a big fan with you of Blackest Night and of the Green Lantern books all around it.
Right.
Brightest Day turned me off, and it felt like they were just trying to monopolize off of it too much. It was the equivalent of Countdown in 52. You know, it was just too much.
Trinity,
whatever. I mean, just too much, just excessive. But I got to say, the idea of Sinestro, that's a damn,
you know, the rogue Green Lantern. And
shit.
Yeah, he's like the rogue Green Lantern. And then he's got his former crew trying to kill him.
Right.
Every issue.
Because that makes sense. Sinestro is like a Dr. Doom to me in the sense that he doesn't even think he's a villain.
Right.
He thinks
he's like, I'm doing this. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm really interested in that. I feel we might actually agree on something.
Oh, shit.
I heard you guys like the Green Lantern movie, though.
You know, I got a phrase for you. But it's not even word.
No, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna say I hated it. I just didn't like anything that was on Earth. That's where the movie stopped. Every time I knew the Earth, I was like, ah.
I didn't like anything that was on screen. Because
all the shit,
because his sequence that was 4 minutes long.
All the shit on Oa,
Gatling gun and a sword. You know what I mean? Like
all the shit that went down on Oa was great, which is the trailer, because that's all you know. But you know that I dug that, and it should have stayed in space. It's green.
No, you can bring him to Earth. Just don't have half the goddamn movie in his apartment.
75%
sitting outside with the girl talking about how much they. Exactly.
I mean, but you know what DC did. Well, I don't know.
Epic fail, DC. But you know, I didn't make it bad, dude. I didn't make it bad.
You ever play the DC video games?
Ah, this like was Justice another League? Conversation I was about to say. Yeah.
Now, which you ever watch?
You're not talking about DC Online.
You're not talking about that Superman game for the 64, are you? I never got past the rings.
You remember the Superman arcade game with Superman and Superboy flying, shooting stuff with their eyes?
Let's not talk about that.
It was fun.
But you ever watch their in game movies?
Yes.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding. I always thought that DC should take that and run with it.
Just like
and do DC. A whole movie computer animated just like that.
The way the DCU Online opening movie was incredible. Yeah, I agree.
Why they don't take that up?
Seriously,
you know what I mean, I bet you that if they were to do movies like that, they would get up there where Marvel is on live action.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. You know, because
here's a question: the cost for CG is extravagant, and even when you put the cost for CG. Look, man, the movie they made was with the Green Lantern movie. Regardless of who thinks it was good, cost a lot of money. I mean, it cost an incredible amount of money. And, I mean, I'm...
He's like, just give me a piece of plastic and put it in my face. Right,
and people ask why they don't do more animated features. And the animated features cost a lot of money, too. And so, you know, if you're really going to do it with that aesthetic, even if it was live action, I feel like you're again saying the thing that I keep hearing echoed by everybody is... You've got good product. Why are you not following your good product to the screen? Why are you making these, you know, haphazard kind of like, you know, knee-jerk reaction live action
movies? I'll tell you why.
That don't have anything to do.
I'll tell you exactly why that happens, because it really, 9 times out of 10, doesn't have nothing to do with them.
Well, I mean, DC because, is owned by Warner, and Warner is making money off of DC.
But so. You got to understand, Warner is not DC.
No.
Just the same thing with Walt Disney having Marvel.
Yeah, but it's different because I argue this point. Disney, first of all, has a huge vested interest in making Marvel do what they want on screen. Going forward, Marvel has made the movies that they made with that Disney, but going forward, they're going to be a Disney company.
Right, right.
And DC has been a Warner company since the 70s. So the idea that that Warner didn't have not only an idea of what to do, but more importantly, a vested interest in making money off of these things is weird to me, because they've had more than enough time.
But let me tell you how it works with that, though, because you have DC, which knows if they were the ones making the movie, this is how we think it should be done. Then you have Warner, who says, this is how we want it done and how we think we're going to make the money.
Right.
Otherwise, because you got to remember, if you ever watch, I know you guys follow this, if you watch how a comic movie is made, look at how many changes are made because of the studio.
Yes, but...
compared to maybe the writer.
I totally agree.
And 9 times out of 10, how many writers write the films that don't even read the comics?
I agree with that, but here's... I just want to make a little allegorical story real quick, because exactly on that topic, I was thinking about this last night. Batman franchise films, fantastic. Chris Nolan at the helm has had a specific contract that gives him almost limitless creative freedom. It is very difficult for anybody to stand over his shoulder and tell him that he has to make editorial changes. That could be bad if he sucked, but he's great, so they got great stuff out of it. But it also speaks to something. It's not always the comic creators. As much as we would like to believe that a Geoff Johns who makes a great Green Lantern would make a great Green Lantern movie, it's not always a direct translation, because a great illustration, one of our favorite movies, Conan. Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer, two very different movies.
One's good, and one is bullshit.
But here's something really, really fascinating about that. The original cut of Conan the Barbarian, the original scripts. That movie was in pre-production for 5 years because they couldn't find the right script. And you know what did it was really ironic. Roy Thomas, one of the Marvel writers for Conan at the time, when it was really popular, when they were making the movie,
right,
got tapped to do the original script. He wrote the script. It sounded like something that came right out of the comics. The executives looked over it. They didn't say this is going to be a bad movie. They said, this is not a movie that will sell to the wider public. And more importantly, it's not a movie that we can finance. Now, I'm not saying that movie was bad, but hear me on this. Just here's the end of that story. Mm-hmm. Roy Thomas didn't write the script for the first movie, and we love that movie, even though it's not really quintessentially Conan. Right. The second movie, Roy Thomas and someone else did do the screenplay. And that movie was crap. And I'm not saying it was his fault at all. I'm just saying that there's more to it than just saying these people did it right this time. Follow that formula. Sometimes things like Batman, things like Conan, you've got to get somebody that only cares about the quality, doesn't even care about the continuity, just cares about making the damn finest thing that you can make.
Now, did you know Conan? They were going to make a third Conan.
Yes, they were.
And guess what movie that turned out to be?
That's unfortunate. Go ahead.
The third Conan that they were going to do that was shut down quickly, they turned it into that movie Krull.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well,
I like Krull.
I liked Krull for what it was.
The movie Castle?
Let me ask you one question.
I love that.
Would you have been happier if Krull was Conan 3 or if it was called Krull?
No, I'm glad it was called Krull and not called Conan. Right. I would be like, what in the holy blue hell is... No, but it's like you said, it is like that. I think it's really depending. I mean, like with the Nolan issue, you know, not all directors would have been able to have that much pull like Nolan did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I mean, like for you know, you look at all the Batman movies, and you know, you look at the first two. People still love the first two. You know, in Tim Burton's way.
Right.
You know, I still think it was. It could have been better.
Right,
I liked it, but I thought it could have been better.
Right.
You know, Nolan took it, and if anybody knows Nolan and watched his movies, they know how he would have went with it from the get go.
I got you.
You know, so it really depends on. I guess, like you said, it really depends, and not always is the person that actually wrote is going to write a good screenplay and so forth and so on. So it's really
back, Kevin, because I know we're about to run up on the end of our time here.
Yep.
Let me just bring that back one more time in the Hador's specific way. The Word Podcast is all about championing the best in pop culture. It's comics, it's movies, it's games, it's whatever, man. Because this is really the culture that is speaks to us, but also that everybody else knows these characters by way of the representations. They know because of the film. They know because of a USA Today article or because of DC advertisements in movie theaters about their relaunch.
Yeah.
This is really going to be ultimately all about what books are the best books and not about which books people want before they come out. It's not going to be about anticipation. It's not going to be about pre-orders. It's going to be about the best book wins. How much do the fans, and more importantly, because this is our fucking show, how much do we think that they've got a chance to succeed? That's what this is really about.
Well, you know, since the giddy up, I've been like, they got a great chance to succeed, you know? If anything, you know, I say it every day when I'm here. DC, this was needed for DC.
Right.
This was so totally needed. Because when I look back at, Infinite Crisis, 52. I roll my eyes every time I say 52. Because the DC storylines and whatnot is so convoluted. And it seems like DC was right. They can't do it. They couldn't do any more of those big events. They're really, you know, with using that, you know, the past like 40, 50 years worth of shit. Seems like they were writing themselves into a corner. This reboot was so needed so they could really just do more storylines, really update these characters and whatnot. I've been looking forward to something like this for a while, and I'm really glad that they're doing it. It's ballsy. It is bold. You know what I mean? But it is so thoroughly needed, and I'm glad they did it, and I really do think it's going to do well.
I think that in my own haterific way that I'm not morbid and I'm not despondent or anything like this. I think that they've got a shot to revolutionize the entire mainstream comics industry. I think they had to take the shot. I'm really glad that they did. I wish, to be completely honest, that they had been more bold, more ballsy about this. I wish that they had had the ability to go and make an entirely new universe of concepts.
Yeah, but you know that would just and even the ones who are so afraid of change.
I'm not arguing.
That will. I'm not arguing. You know, they will just cry, well, cry.
And listen, this is the surfer. This is the greatest.
Looking right at
this
you.
This is the greatest quote I think from DC execs about this whole thing. It's not about what portion of the pie we have. It's about the fact that we need a bigger pie. Mm-hmm. It's not about how many of the fans that are reading comics right now we have buying our books, because that's pretty dismal all across the board for the mainstream.
Right.
But it's about getting more people to ultimately come and buy these books. Yeah. And I think,
and I really
if
think
they follow
it.
Up all this yeah. hype, because they're gonna ride hype out for a few months, maybe till the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's really ultimately going to come down to the quality of the books and to how many people they speak to, how many different concepts, ideas, well executed they have, maybe how much new creative talent they're working on the books. You know, I know a lot of people are definitely, there's a huge hubbub about the amount of women characters and creators working for DC. I think that's all relevant, but I think that really what it's going to come down to is realize that people want more different kinds of things, and that you're going to have to give them more different kinds of things well executed. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful to get it right, but I know you and me and the Word Podcast is going to be back here, you know, in a couple weeks or a month to talk about this anyway.
That's so, right.
You know, we going to be here.
Hell yeah. So, Leaf?
I have a question. With all the guys, mostly all guys in this room, you guys were talking about on the Facebook page, but how do you guys think they will do porn parodies?
You say porn parodies?
Porn parodies.
Well, you saw the thing we spoke to last night.
Yo, won't do porn parodies.
Joe, there's a Captain America porn parody that's out right now, and I think
and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Spidey, and I think. What else? Something else is on. I think Supes or Justice League or something like that. Justice League. Yeah.
So I mean, what
we'll see how good the continuity is.
Yeah.
You silly man.
Every guy in here was probably thinking.
I think we need to make another podcast for that conversation.
I think so. But so let me ask you. I need a one word review. Justice League number one. Hey Tor, what do you think? One word review. That's what I said.
That's not gonna be my one word review.
Okay, that's more than one word.
No. Because somebody else said word, and that's not gonna be it. Justice League number one, one word. Interesting. And I said it with that sound because that's all the subtext. Okay. I could put.
I'm gonna give you mine. Like I put one up earlier on our Facebook page and said word, but I'm gonna give you another one which is not so emphatic, but I mean it's still just as optimistic. Yeah. Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you, Cap.
I dig it. Word. I dig it.
Well,
I hate Green Lantern.
He's a dick.
But he's,
you know,
a,
what? If you
he is a dickish space cop.
Let's not even start talking about spoilers because we're about to. Really,
yeah,
we'll get into that. Everybody listening to Word Podcast, I want to say thank you for listening to it, and I want to say thank you for supporting not just the.
Give yourselves a round of applause, please.
I really appreciate all you guys, you know, I really, really appreciate everybody actually coming up and speaking on the mic, giving you a peace of mind. We're going to wind up talking to a lot more fans about this, not just in the coming weeks and months, but tomorrow's Wednesday, and we're going to be selling more of these books tomorrow than we are tonight. We're going to talk to more people about it then, too. You guys were the first, and we appreciate it more than you know. And everybody out there listening
true
to this
fans.
After the fact, the Word Podcast is ultimately here for us, but really, we're here for you too.
We're
all fans, we're all appreciators, and we wouldn't be here if so many people didn't care about this stuff so much.
Damn right.
So give yourselves a round of applause too.
That's right. Nerds! You're all nerds!
We are!
So am I!
Yes, we're nerds.
If that's you, right.
If,
word.
If you appreciate listening to this midnight, you know, preview review of Flashpoint 5 and Justice League number 1, check us out on Facebook, The Word Podcast. Leave your comments and opinions on there. You know, assume that you had been on the mic with us here at midnight too. If you get an opportunity, come in and talk to Chris, Captain Ryans, or Joe the Hator Turner at Atomic City Comics.
Rogue will be here too. He's just hanging around.
Yeah, Roguezilla had to kick the building down. He was like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm not going to do it in Philly because that would just fuck everything up. So.
Yeah.
But you'll hear about him on the news, I'm sure.
Oh, wait, wait. Don't forget County.
County. He's like, huh? Somebody call my name.
What was that? I'm going back to sleep.
And one more time for the Word Podcast. Captain Ryan's. Say words, son.
Words. So can I get a word from everyone in the room, please, one more time? One, two, three.
Word!